Hey Brad, I'm Jeremy.
How you doing, Jeremy?
Doing well.
How you know my name?
What?
How you know my name?
I think from several years ago.
Huh?
Yeah, I think from several years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, how are you both doing?
Hi,
yeah, I forget your name though.
Brenda.
Brenda, I don't think I've ever met you. So.
Nope.
Yeah.
We met 3 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Did you get moved?
Yep.
Yeah. That's good.
We got everything. I'm sleeping on my futon at my place.
Yeah.
The next area will start waiting to move.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Are you giving the lesson to
that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yes, indeed.
Are you an elder too then?
Mm-mm. Church member, so church membership is good. So, yeah. Yeah, you bet. Nice to meet you. All right. All right. I think we'll go ahead and move to starting here. Looks like we're all filtering in here. See if we have a few more filter in with us, but this is a good crew here. I'd say maybe the football team was impacting our mood, but I think everyone's pretty well adjusted to the reality of where things are right now. But all right, let's open our time in prayer. Lord, once again, we want to thank you for this time that you've given us to gather together. As always, we're thankful for your word, Lord. We are thankful that you have been clear to us about who you are. You've been clear to us about what you expect from us, Lord, and you did not need to do that. We had no merit that warranted you doing that for us, Lord. And we thank you as we think about prayer, and that you don't leave us in the dark with prayer either, Lord. You direct our prayer, Lord. You guide our prayer, and we just want to thank you for being the God who not only answers prayers, Lord, but who guides us in what we should pray, and who desires to bring us in line with his own character, Lord, with your own character, Lord. So we pray that you would bless this time. Lord, help us as we consider the catechism. Help us as we consider Paul's prayer in Ephesians, Lord. Would you give us insight? That's a great text, Lord, and we need your help to be able to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so week 40. Hit the 4-0 on the catechism here. And the question for this week is, what should we pray? Answer being, the whole Word of God directs and inspires us in what we should pray, including the prayer Jesus himself taught us. Get that a little bit lower there. Let's read our text here together from Ephesians 3:14, if you want to turn there. It's also occupying quite a bit of space on your handout up top if you want to look there as well. But it's good to have the word open to be able to look around a little bit. So Paul prays, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So this morning, we'll dive into the question here, and we'll discuss that. What I'd like to do, just so you know where we're heading, we have quite a few questions. We may not cover all the questions that are there, because I'd like to take some time for that final question. And that final question at the very bottom of the handout is, how is praying the Bible an aid to us in our prayers? So we'll probably take 20 minutes there at the end to talk about what does it mean to pray the Bible? What does that look like? And then take some time to do that together. So just so you have a heads up of what's coming. I think that's probably, you know, a familiar concept for some of us, but I think it's still helpful for us to be able to practice that together and to spend some time praying. You know, we have 4 weeks here that we're talking on prayer. It'd be good to spend some time praying together as well. So if it seems like I'm zipping through questions, that's part of why I'm doing that this morning. So to discuss the question, to jump into that aspect of our handout, what questions on prayer have we covered so far? Yeah, what should our attitude be in prayer? Definitely. And what is prayer? Yeah. So what is it? How is it appropriate? Or in what ways is it appropriate for us to pray? And then this week, we're going to cover what should we pray? And then next week, we're going to kind of double-click on this idea of the Lord's Prayer and just take that that prayer and just spend some time meditating on it together. So that's our 4 weeks on prayer. Once again, we're in the section of growing in grace, and prayer is obviously a huge means of growing in grace, and that's represented in the Catechism by the fact that we're taking 4 weeks to talk about prayer. So prayer, obviously a huge means of growing in grace, a huge means of that the Lord uses us to direct us and to guide us towards His desires and toward Him. And then our next question, for what things do we pray? What do we pray for? Yeah, confession and forgiveness. That's very good. Praise and worship. Mm-hmm. Our health. Yeah, health and finances.
Strength and direction.
Strength and direction. Mm-hmm.
Salvation of souls.
Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. Yeah, so I think we've covered, you know, some of the things that we've prayed for, and you know, we have those elements, you know, praise and worship, confession, thanksgiving, petition. We've talked about, you know, health and finances and the salvation of others. So we have plenty to pray for. And it's good that we pray. Those are all good things that we pray for. One of the things that we're going to talk about at the end is that praying through Scripture. And what's helpful about that is that sometimes we tend to pray about the same things, and it kind of feels like we're praying about the same old things in the same old way. And praying through Scripture helps us to be able to come to the text and be directed by the text, and so it brings some freshness to it. It kind of changes things up, and then as we're seeing Scripture, that's ultimately going to guide and direct us in our prayers as well. So let's go ahead now. Let's discuss the Scripture. This first question is kind of hard, but we'll throw it out there and see how it goes. So, for what reason does Paul bow before the Father? Looking at our Ephesians text there. So he starts out there in verse 14, for this reason. What is that reason? Yeah, the Gentiles are now members in the body of Christ. So he says, for this reason, in verse 14, and then, okay, let's jump back. Well, he said the same thing in verse 3:1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me. So when he says assuming there, okay, he's breaking off his thought. So he's saying, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. That's what he's going to be praying about. And that's tying us back to chapter 2. And yeah, the great truth that we're all part of one body. Christ has created a new humanity where we're all joined together
under him as our king. And we have the great truths, obviously, and the beginning of two as well, and just our being made alive in Christ, you know, our identity with Christ, our union with Christ there. So he comes here in chapter 3, and he's praying in light of those great truths. He's praying in light of that unity. So what are the three, I'm going to say three primary things that Paul prays for Christians? So let's just try and identify what the three are, and then we'll take a little time to think about what each of them means. So the first one we find is that we need to be strengthened with power. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. I know I said look for the word that. I'm going to actually group that one in with the first one. So strengthened, dwell in your hearts. I'm going to kind of link that one together. So it leaves a couple more of that's if we take that one out. I always got to give you somewhat of a trick question each week, it seems like. Rooted and grounded in love. And just to carry that thought further, being rooted and grounded in love, that we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So that's going to be one big primary thing that Paul is praying for. Excuse me. That is praying for all believers. So this letter was written, it's to the Ephesians, but it was a circular letter. So it was written to many people. It doesn't address specific situations in the way that a lot of our other letters address. And then obviously it's written to us as well, just the very nature of Scripture. So we have two. What's our third one? Yeah, filled with all the fullness of God. Definitely. All right, so... So I've spent time thinking about this passage this week, and this is a wonderful passage. And so let's take some time to think about what this means. And I think there's a sense in which, for me, like reading this passage is like, okay, I think I kind of know what that means, but it's just like I know that means so much more than what I'm thinking right now. So I'm looking forward to spending some time, just a few minutes here, thinking about this together. So strengthened. So if we look at that first part, being strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Does anyone have thoughts on what that means? Yeah, I think, and it takes a little bit to jump in here. So you may be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. If Christ is going to dwell in us, if Christ is going to dwell in our hearts through faith, we need to be strengthened for that. So Paul is praying that they would be strengthened, that they may be able to know the power and presence of Christ in their life. They need to be strengthened to be able to bear that. And that's his prayer for them, that they would be strengthened in that way, that Christ would be real to them. And we're going to talk a lot about the love of Christ, that they would know the love of Christ. And we need strength to be able to bear and to know that. Go ahead, Roger. Yeah. So we're not going to depend on ourselves. We don't really have any power. And Ephesians has been pretty clear if you read through the first few chapters. Like, you don't have anything, so you're empty, and you need to be filled. You need to be filled with power. You look at Ephesians 2, you know, we were dead in our trespasses. We're not bringing anything here. Definitely being filled with the Spirit is huge in this passage. So our second reason, and this is, like I said, it's a pretty long one. So If Christ is dwelling in our hearts through faith, if we're experiencing the power and presence of the risen Christ in us, and then it says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, so if we're established in his love, if that love is firm beneath our feet, and we're understanding that, he's saying, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So if you're established in this love, Paul's going to pray that believers would have the strength to comprehend the many dimensions of God's love and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Does anyone have thoughts on that section there and kind of what that means? What does it mean that, you know, we talk about the breadth and length and height and depth of love? What does it mean that we talk about the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge?
I think if Christ is dwelling in our hearts through faith, if we're exercising faith, there's going to be submission, for sure. Go ahead, Emily.
And I think that's a really big, big component of this. It's not that Paul is praying that he is, in one sense, praying that you, Emily, would experience and know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. He's praying that, but he's praying more than that. He's praying that you would comprehend that together with all the saints. So as we're thinking about this, you know, what the desire here and the desire of Paul is here, we can think about it in this way. Excuse me. We can think about it as Paul is desiring that Cornerstone Berean Church would comprehend and know the reality and the power and presence of God, that they would comprehend that, and that would impact our lives, that we would be so caught up in this love that it changes our lives, and we're experiencing it together. It's not an individualistic thing. It's something that we experience together, where the love of Christ has become so real to us, and we truly know it. And that's going to change how we interact with others, and it's going to change the decisions that we make in our life. But it's going to be something where it's happening. It's being comprehended together with all the saints.
And Jeremy,
So this is according to the riches of his glory. And I agree, this is going to, when we have comprehended the love in this way, this is going to redound to the glory of God as well. Yeah. So then our last primary reason that Paul prays is that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. So what does it mean that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God? And once again, these are great truths that we're probing into here briefly. So if we're being filled with God, our character is going to reflect his character. If we're being filled with the Spirit, we're going to be reflecting his character. If we have the fullness of God within us, we're satisfied. We have what we need, and self is going to fade away. If the fullness of God is in us, we're going to be able to make sacrifices. Because we've understood the love of God, and we have his fullness within us, so we have what we need. Sin is going to lose its power. I'm not going to care so much about the things of this world. If that fullness of God is in me, we have what, you know, in me and in you, and we're comprehending that together, we have everything we need. We have more than what we deserve, if that's true. Thank you guys for sharing some thoughts on that. I'm gonna not cover those last three questions for the sake of time here. So those are questions that you can look over, and we may even bounce through the next few questions pretty quickly as well. But we'll be able to return to that Ephesians passage as we spend some time in prayer. So the first question, for discuss the answer in light of Scripture: why do we need to be directed and inspired in what we should pray? So we don't know what to pray. The Spirit will bring things to mind. Certainly the Spirit prays for us as well and intercedes for us. Yeah, that, I think we could find that in Romans 8, 26 or 27, somewhere in that range, or area, I should say. So, I think, you know, we're fallen people, and, you know, we go astray. I was thinking about this this week, and have you guys ever had a situation where someone corrects you, and the way they correct you is just so obvious that when they correct you, just a light bulb goes off, and you realize, man, I've been doing wrong in that. And just that light bulb goes off. But it's something that happened over such a long course and period of time that's like, how did I never see that? How did I not see that I was falling in that way and I was sinning in that way? And I think that's just an illustration of the blindness that we have, our spiritual blindness, and just our need for correction, our need to be directed and guided, because we often don't even know. Often we do, but also often we don't even know where we're going astray. So we need others. We need the Lord and His Word to direct us and to guide us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our self-centeredness, we need to be directed away from that, certainly. All right. I think I'll cover these next few questions pretty quick, and then we'll take some time to pray through Scripture together. I'll explain what that means. We'll have some time to do it together, and then we can just recap after that. So yeah, we certainly, you know, we're self-centered. We need to be directed and inspired in what we should pray. We need our desires to be directed to what is truly good for us and not the things that we think are good for us. So to cover these next few points, you know, there are patterns for prayer in the Word of God that direct and inspire us. So when I say the word patterns, you know, we have this prayer here in Ephesians. We have the Lord's Prayer, which we're going to talk about next week. We have different instances in which the Lord prayed. We have the Psalms as a guide and a prayer book to guide us in what it means to pray. So we have patterns for prayer in Scripture. But I think the answer says the whole Word of God directs and inspires us in what we should pray. So it's not just the patterns for prayer that direct us and guide us, it's the whole Word that directs us and guides us. And I think we see that in a couple different ways. One, it's through the Word that we know who God is, you know, and know what He requires and what He desires of us. And that's material for prayer right there. We see who God is, and we see what he wants, and we can pray those things. But I think all of Scripture is profitable to be prayed. And so, you know, if you think about the Psalms, if you think about this prayer from Ephesians, if you think about the Lord's Prayer, it's easy to see praying those things. But we should be able to go through any section of Scripture and find fuel for prayer in that. Now, it's going to probably be easier to do that in the New Testament than it would be to do it in the Old Testament. But even in the Old Testament, if we look at the larger themes, there's plenty to be prayed about as we read through Scripture, see the larger themes, and then bring those back to the Lord in prayer. So the Catechism is saying that all of Scripture, the whole Word of God, directs and inspires us in what we should pray. And I think that's true. One further point to that is the whole Word of God is pointing to Jesus and to His gospel. So I think that's just saying what I said another way, is that everything should be, when rightly understood, pointing to Christ and His gospel. And there's certainly room for prayer when we're praying about Jesus and about the work that He has done. So I know that's a really quick run through of those questions. But I just think that the assertion of the Catechism is correct, that the whole Word of God directs and inspires us in what we should pray. And I think if we take some time to talk about praying the Bible, we can maybe flesh those things out a little bit. All right, so we started by talking about, you know, what are some things that we pray about. And
There was a lot of good things that we talked about. We talked about praising the Lord, confession of sin. We talked about thanksgiving. We talked about praying for health, praying for finances, praying for people to be saved. These are all good things to pray for. But an issue that we can have is that though these things are good things to pray for, and though that these things are the things that make up our life, so we're going to pray about them because they have to do with our life. The problem that we can sometimes have is when we're praying these things, we get selfish in that. And if we're just kind of guiding and directing our prayers, they move in a selfish direction. But also, they can just start to kind of sound like we're praying the same thing over and over. And it just starts to feel repetitive for us. So that's a problem that we can have in our prayer life. And so a solution that helps us in this is to pray the Bible. So this, what I'm going to talk about here and what we're going to do here this morning is pulled from this book, Praying the Bible by Don Whitney. At Cornerstone, we have had opportunity to do this. I know we've done this in some prayer times during Bible class. You know, we're praying scriptures together as part of our corporate service. But I'm just pulling this material from here, so I'd recommend this resource to kind of be able to flesh this out more than we can flesh it out in the 20 minutes that we have to do that right now. But, yeah, the problem is, you know, our prayers can be repetitive. They can become self-focused because we're just kind of directing them. And praying the Bible allows Scripture to direct and inspire our prayers instead. So different sections, you know, we can pray through any section of Scripture. The Psalms are perhaps an easier section to pray through than some other sections. Those patterns for prayer, the prayers of Paul, those are, you know, here's a prayer. We know God loves this prayer because it's in His Word. We can pray this prayer. So definitely plenty there. excuse me. So I'm just gonna cover what it would look like to pray through a psalm, and I'll just kind of model what that looks like, and then we'll take time, we'll break into twos or threes, and spend some time praying through Ephesians together. I'm sorry, throat is out of whack this morning. So to give you a pattern for what it would look like to pray through the psalms. So it's something that you can take and just have ready to go and just something that you can practice easily is there's 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. And if we think about how many days there are in a month, well, generally there's 30. So if you take 150, divide that by 30, you have 5. So there's a way that we can break down the psalms to where we would have 5 options every day for a psalm to pray through. So to illustrate what this looks like is I think it's the 7th. I could be wrong, but I think it's the 7th of October. So if I was going to take this, I would say, okay, today is the 7th. If I add 30 to that, I get 37. If I add 30 to that, I get 67. Add 30 to that, I get 97. Add another 30, I get 127. So as I come to pray through Scripture, I can come and look at these 5 psalms and say, is there something here that the Lord is moving me to pray through and to think through? And you may say, well, some days there's 31 days in the month. Well, the solution there is go to Psalm 119, because I'm guessing the days that you had Psalm 119 available to you, you probably didn't make it through the whole psalm. So plenty of material there to pray through. So that just gives you, if you want to practice praying through Scripture, As a practice, that's a way to go about doing that in the Psalms. If you want to turn to Psalm 23, we'll practice this here together. And one note about praying through Scripture, that's pretty important. When we come to the Bible, we want to take care to make sure that we're understanding it right. And we're interpreting the meaning of Scripture right.
That's a really important thing. We want to hear what God is saying. So, you know, we have small groups, we have Bible class, we have sermons. Most of the time when we come to the Bible, we're pretty concerned about making sure that we're understanding the text correctly in a good way, and our desire to honor the God and hear what he has said to us. Praying scripture is a little bit different. Here we're coming for the purpose of prayer. And so it's okay when we're praying scripture if we end up praying something that isn't the main meaning of the text or the main meaning of the verse. So an example of this that's kind of a radical example is if we come to Psalm 130 and say, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? Now there's great gospel truths that we can pray there, and I do hope we would pray those. But when we're talking about praying scripture, it's okay if you think of someone named Mark and you want to pray for them, that person named Mark. That's okay. That's a radical example, but we're using scripture as a prompt to guide our prayers. And you may say, well, that sounds kind of weird that you're going to come to that verse and pray for Mark. And, you know, maybe I'm better off just generating my own prayers and coming up with a list and praying. But I think over time, if we're praying through scripture, ultimately, our prayers are going to be more directed and more guided by what we're seeing in the text there. So just a clarification that we're coming for the purpose of praying, and it's okay if there's a little bit of, okay, I see this word and it reminds me of something else. I know it takes a little bit to think that through, and that's kind of an interesting distinction about this, but I just want to make that distinction. So if we come to Psalm 23... you know, and we look, I think we can do a couple of verses. So we come to Psalm 23, we see, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we see the name, we say, Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. Lord, I thank you that you care for my needs. Lord, would you care for would you provide? I know you're going to. Would you provide for my family? Would you help me to trust you to provide for my family? You know, you might pray, Lord, thank you for the shepherds, the elders that you have given Cornerstone Brian. Lord, would you guide and direct them? May they be guided and directed by your word. May they be devoted to the word and prayer. May they be kept back from sin. May they lead us with all wisdom, with your wisdom. Those are some things that we could pray from that section. I shall not want. Lord, you tell me that I shall not want. Lord, you are my shepherd. I have all that I need in you, Lord. Help me to cultivate a spirit of gratefulness. Lord, would you cultivate that within me, that I am content, that I am not wanting, but I am satisfied in Christ. You know, we could pray just that the gospel would be shaping our desires so that we cannot be anything but grateful. Lord, help those gospel truths to impact us so that we are not wanting. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know, we can thank the Lord for the rest that he gives us in our lives. He gives us physical rest. We can also thank him for the rest that we have in Christ, knowing that he has taken care of our greatest need, the problem of our sin. He has provided for us great rest. So that's just kind of an example of walking through a few things with praying through scripture. So it's essentially just kind of going line by line. And if you see something that prompts prayer, to go ahead and pray it. Does that make sense? I know we covered that really fast, but does that general pattern make sense? Do we have any questions or clarifications with that? Yeah, I think with that I would probably... you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Probably ideas of just he provides his word for me. He provides nourishment for me. And then he leads me beside still waters. That would be probably more that idea of rest that we were praying about. Yeah, thank you for clarifying. Yeah. So, as you look through those five psalms, it may be, okay, one psalm stands out to you because of a situation in your life, and so that section of the psalm you pray through. You don't have to necessarily just start from the top and work your way down. on that. Go ahead, Roger. Yeah. Yeah, so if we're going to pour out our hearts to God, we're often going to be saying, hey, here's what I see. Here's what you say. Lord, help me. Bring me there, because that's not necessarily what I want. Yeah. Yeah, so there's freedom. Freedom in this. We don't want this to become, as with anything, it can become dry and lifeless, you know. So it depends on our hearts, the disposition that we're coming to the Lord. This is a helpful tool in the toolbox, but we don't want to be rigid about it so that it would cause issues for us in that way. So let's go ahead, and I think we can talk about this. I really appreciate the clarifying comments there. That's really helpful. So we can talk about this, but I think it's something that if we just take some time to do it, then it just kind of fleshes out the practice itself. So what I'd like to do is to take the next 7 minutes and just to pair up or to group in threes. So try and stick to two to three, three people, and then just spend some time praying through Ephesians 14, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Spend some time praying through that. In this case, if it's helpful to start from the top and just take it verse by verse, that might be good, but feel free to pray about what the Lord prompts you to pray about in that. So we'll take 7 minutes to do that. At the end of that time, we'll come back and just talk a little bit more about this and close our time together. Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you guys for sharing. Once again, this is just a tool. A tool that can be used. This isn't like the way we have to pray to be directed and guided or directed and inspired by Scripture, but it's just a helpful tool. If you have any questions about it, I'm happy to talk to you more about it. Matthew could talk to you as well, and I'm guessing others as well, but let's go ahead and let's close our time in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity to spend time in prayer together, Lord, to be able to pray what the Apostle Paul prayed for all believers, Lord. And Lord, we do ask, we ask that you would answer these prayers this morning. We know that you are able to do abundantly more than all that we ask and think, Lord. So, Lord, would you answer these prayers, Lord, for the reality of the love of Christ to be known amongst Cornerstone, Lord. And Father, would you stretch us? Would you help us to pray greater things, knowing that you're able to do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.